Give me the golden finger and I'll begin. All right, let me clarify what I mean by that. Hi, everybody, and welcome to our very special spooky day after Halloween episode of the Sneaky Dragon Show. We're calling it the Spooky Dragon Show today, though.
Ian, I'm a ghost.
Oh, you're the ghost of who? Who are you the ghost of?
Ghost of vibrato.
Oh, okay, that's nice. I'm sorry to hear vibrato die, but this is his ghost we've got here, otherwise known as David Dedrick.
I'm here.
Hey, David Dedrick.
That's right.
And I'm Ian Boothby, like a ghost says boo.
My Twitter is Dave of the Dedrick. So.
That's also all right.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, it works.
You know, there's always next year.
What? That's good.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Good for you.
Not many people have a name that almost sounds like a movie.
Oh, okay. Except for everyone who has movies named after them.
Such as?
Tim.
Okay.
Ted. Was there a movie called Ted?
Yeah.
Malcolm? Malcolm.
Yeah.
Sure. There must be lots of other movies. Man, you've really called me on this one. Movies that are just names of people. Well, this is fun. It's the dead air is also fun to start the show with.
It is good.
You know what's
Clifford? Was Clifford
nothing scarier than dead air in broadcasting?
Wasn't there one with
there was Clifford that was Martin Short.
Yeah.
As that was now I have not seen that movie, but it looks like a very bold concept for a movie where he plays a little boy and Grodin, Charles Grodin,
yes,
plays a guy cashing a check who's in a movie.
Garfield.
Yeah.
That's a movie.
That's right. That's named after the cat.
Yep.
Yep. Which, again, I said this before. I'll say this again. Poor man's Heathcliff, that Garfield. You know, we already had an orange cat that was sassy, full of stripes, fat guy, strutting on his hind legs. Mm-hmm. We had that. It's called Heathcliff. Now you're calling it Garfield, calling it new. You know what, Jim Davis? Go fuck yourself. That's what I say. By the way, find me a Garfield costume on Halloween. No one wears them. No one cares anymore. Garfield's done.
But did people wear them before?
I'm sure they did. Yes.
I don't remember that.
I would assume a Garfield costume was a popular costume at one point.
Hmm.
He was so popular, I can't assume
that was
not the case.
There was a plastic mask and flammable outfit that accompanied Garfield at some point.
Oh, and Dave, I found the worst place on earth.
Oh, okay, where is it?
Well, you know, because you probably read my Facebook post on this. It would be a Halloween Emporium.
I did read that, actually.
It's the worst place on earth.
Why is that?
Well, it's all the fun of Christmas shopping on Christmas Eve.
Yes.
That kind of frantic, fuck it, everyone tossing everything everywhere.
Yeah.
Plus costumes that are now the worst because all the good costumes are gone.
Yeah.
There was a costume there that was called Happy Camper.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what it was. It was like a shirt and shorts, but a fake boner in it. And they had 10 of those for sale. And they clearly had more, and some sold.
Yes.
And that's a thing.
That's
not a shameful in the corner discount. That's out proudly. Then there's all these statues of the witches, and you're walking by, they go rah! At you and scaring you.
Yeah.
And like, I don't need that when I'm shopping at the best of times. Go to hell, Halloween Emporium. Also, these are all the pop-up businesses, so no one gives a shit. They don't care.
Yes.
You know, they're not cleaning. Why would you clean your floor? Who cares? You're going to be out of here in like 3 days. Ugh, awful, disgusting.
That's probably...
Porn shops look at these shops and go, ugh, you're really bringing the neighborhood down.
That is something about them, that fly-by-night element of just come in, set up shop in some abandoned store.
Yeah.
You know, this was once a bookstore. No one needs those anymore. Now it's a Halloween Emporium for 3 days or whatever, how long?
Yeah.
2 weeks. Buy, you know, have...
Yeah, it's a methadone clinic all the rest of the year.
Pot dispensary, I think, would be the...
Well, sure, that too. Whatever you want it to be. No, a pot dispensary wouldn't shut down
that's
for this.
True,
there's
actually,
enough money
last,
in that.
They lost, you're
yeah,
right.
But it's definitely next door to the pot dispensary.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not fool ourselves. And unfortunately, the people who wander out of the pot dispensary and wander into this by mistake,
they're
pants.
Buying the happy camper.
Oh my gosh, it's the worst. The worst thing there is. And someone said to me, oh yeah, you know what, how about you tell that to someone in Somalia? I bet there's a sexy Somalian costume there.
Yeah.
You know, just mocking the problems.
Well,
there's a sexy everything.
There's that sexy Ebola nurse outfit.
Now,
there is.
Now, just let me ask you a question about that.
Don't ask me a question about it.
All right, then I won't. I'm going to make a statement about it.
Okay, make a statement.
Here's my statement.
Okay.
I bet if you go back 1 year,
yes,
you will find that same outfit is a sexy Breaking Bad outfit.
Could be.
I bet you anything that was what it was. Could have been. And they just redid it.
Yeah.
Slapped something else on it, and there you go. I bet that was a sexy Walter White.
I was trying to put together a sexy Ebola patient costume.
Mm-hmm.
I had the running sores. I had the, you know, the kind of body fluids thing going.
Right.
I could not find a sequined thong anywhere, so I've given up on that idea.
Okay.
Something else is going to come about, I think.
There you are. Yeah. Oh, boy. Here's the thing. Halloween. Halloween. It's weird, because Halloween is such mixed feelings for me. I like Halloween.
Because of candy.
Well, yeah, candy's nice. But I also like that it's not a pressure-filled holiday for the most part. It's not, no one goes, you ruined Halloween for the family. You ruined it. But Thanksgiving and, you know, that and Christmas, that's when you have, let's solve all the family's problems while we're all together.
I got that on April Fool's Day. That's what I got. You ruined April Fool's Day for everyone.
And then they went April Fool?
Because, well, what I did was I took...
Oh, you actually did ruin April Fool's Day.
I did. I took the coffee. You remember when coffee came in a tin can?
Sure. Folgers, Mountain Grown.
Yeah.
Rich aroma.
I took it.
Yeah.
I put a bag of water on the top of it and put it in the freezer and then put it in the fridge. And so my parents went to get coffee in the morning.
Uh-huh.
It was under a 6-inch piece of ice.
Yeah. That's pretty funny.
It was a great joke.
It is.
Except they couldn't get their coffee.
Yeah,
they weren't so happy with me.
Tough luck.
Because apparently coffee is important to people in the morning.
Uh-huh.
I did not know that because I don't drink coffee.
No, it's a funny joke. Regardless, I don't care.
It was a good gag.
Anything but their insulin is it's a hilarious gag.
So that's a good joke, right?
It's a great joke.
Didn't go over well.
Dude, go to the corner anything and get a cup of damn coffee and shut up. And, you know, be blessed that your son's funny.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. Oh, brief... I just want to...
By the way, don't do the old... Let me just say quickly.
Sure, sure.
Don't do the old saran wrapping the toilet. That does not go over well.
Did you do that once?
I know some people who did.
Okay.
And it did not. And I had it happen to me once, too. Yeah. It's unpleasant.
Yeah, that seems like the opposite of funny. Being covered with your own urine seems like the opposite...
That's the best case scenario.
It's true enough. The other scenario isn't so much
fun. The other scenarios are terrible.
Every other scenario.
Every other scenario is much, much worse. Okay, please continue. You were going to say.
But if it was a drunken party.
Uh-huh. You had to run in there to throw up.
It would be kind of funny.
Would it?
If not with you.
Depends. Is it your house?
No.
Okay.
It would be kind of funny.
Please continue.
You have to admit it. That would be kind of funny.
Listen, practical jokes... Okay, let me just go to this quickly.
Okay.
Back to my original point.
Sure, sure.
Here's why I like Halloween.
Yeah.
Halloween, yeah, you're right, candy, mm-hmm. delicious treats, mm-hmm. and no family pressure.
Nope.
Because you can't have a Except discussion about how, well.
The costume's pressure.
A little bit beforehand, if you give a damn. If you don't give a damn, you're fine. Sure. But you can't argue the family's problems when you're dressed as a ghost. And just go, you never love me. You can't, because you're dressed as a ghost,
yeah.
and the other person is Snoopy, and you can't do it. So... It's a day where you get to like leave that alone. The things I dislike are, yeah, all the merchandising, whatever, ahead of time, these stupid pop-up shops, all the pressure, as you say, to do a costume.
Yeah.
And why everything now has to be the sexy blank. Yes. I bet there's a sexy podcaster costume out there.
I'm wearing it. I didn't know this. So I was at the final show for the Prop House on Monday night.
Right.
Fabulous show.
I was working that night, otherwise I'd be
Fabulous
there.
Show. I understand. It was a fabulous show, though. Like, it was just really great. Like, sort of the best of the best.
Yeah.
And then some of the others came, and it was a fantastic night.
Because that's what the show is.
And
now, were there cats?
The cats are gone now. They've all been adopted.
Good. Good for the cats adopted.
They all have their own homes. The piano was also gone. So the musician who starts the show, he brought his violin, and he played a violin.
Nice.
He played some songs from Sesame Street on violin, which was interesting. But the early Sesame Street, sort of these kind of like sort of songs behind the things, like the one was called The Horse. So I assume it was music that was played while a horse was doing something in a field.
Okay.
And it probably wasn't pooping, judging from the music.
Okay.
Unless it was a jaunty poop, then it might have been.
Listen, you know more about horses than I do.
I know tons about
You know
horses.
What it sounds like when a horse has a jaunty poop?
I know which side is the hairiest.
What's that?
The outside.
Very nice.
Yes, thank you.
The only thing is, make sure you don't put a saran wrap coating on your field when the horse is pooping.
Right.
Sounds funny.
They don't
but
like
that
it.
Is a lot of cleanup.
That's too much cleanup. It's cleanup anyway. Which is the weirdest thing about horses is that you have to go out into the field and clean the field.
Mm-hmm.
Clean the poo in the field. You don't just leave it out there laying around.
No.
You have to go and clean it up.
Yeah.
That's
Of course. That's what you got to do with wild horses, too. Even if you don't own them, you just got to run out there and clean it up.
Clean up
that desert.
Yeah, carry a rake around if you go hiking and where horses are. What was I saying?
You were saying, I was saying stuff about Halloween, and you went, oh, that reminds me, and you were going to tell a hilarious prop house. We're
one
back
of the one of the comedians wrote out the fact, he says, why do you guys light off fireworks at Halloween?
Mm-hmm.
And I always assumed that fireworks was everywhere.
No, back east, we did not. No. It was Victoria Day, and it was some other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, we never. Halloween fireworks was a strange thing when I moved here as
a
kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like a really terrible time to do fireworks.
Well, that's what this person suggested
as well. Yeah, it's the worst. It's the worst. You don't want costumes and fireworks. Okay. No, any other time is great, you know, because it's more supervised. But like Halloween, ugh, it's dark.
Yeah.
Dangerous. Mm-hmm. People are already dressed like Satan.
You're making me happy.
Oh, the worst.
It's hard to explain. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where it came from, but I mean, I love fireworks.
Right.
Like I like them in the most dangerous ways that you can like fireworks.
You like them being set off by people wearing masks who have no responsibility for their actions.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest problem with fireworks at Halloween. The masks.
The masks.
Yeah.
Set off
what you want. Let's see your face, buddy.
Vancouver doesn't just have a long history of fireworks at Halloween. It has a long history of hooliganism at Halloween, including riots. And this, I'm talking about the 50s and 60s. There were actual Halloween riots of people fighting, you know, having huge rumbles and causing property damage and things like that.
Do you know what's changed all that, Dave?
Pot dispensaries?
No, okay. Though that's a good guess.
Oh, thanks.
Sexy Halloween costumes.
That's helped too.
They didn't. If you had the sexy anything else costume, you'd be distracted and be like, well, you don't need to set off your fireworks.
Because
you know what
that's,
you know what you're compensating for when you're setting off a bunch of fireworks, right?
Your lack of fun in your life?
Sure, let's go with that.
Yeah.
That's not as specific as what I'm saying, but yeah. When you're buying the biggest rocket you can, shooting it in the sky and going, everyone look at my big rocket as it explodes all over you.
Yeah.
You know what we're talking about, right? So you get the sexy outfits over there. You don't need to do that. Who cares? It's fine.
Well, the thing is that they have the sexy rioter costume, though, so...
Do they really?
Yeah. So it's really... Is this going
What are they
around?
Looting? Kisses?
Well, it's like a sexy anonymous, you know, sexy, you know...
Guy Fawkes?
Occupy Wall Street costume. You know, sexy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's, you know, the sexy dreads.
Yeah, so you're pro-hooliganism.
And then I'm pro-hooliganism.
That's a weird choice.
I mean, it's weird because...
Sometimes you come across like, Ian, I'm a very conservative fellow, and I'll tell you this. And I say once a year, kill them all.
That's right. The Purge. That's what I want Halloween to become. I want it to become the Purge. No, I just like the idea of fun.
Uh-huh.
And maybe unsupervised fun. Maybe it's a dangerous thing. I don't know. When I was a kid, we shot Roman candles at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it is hard to explain to your mom why you have an inch in diameter hole in your ski jacket that's been burned into it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard one to explain.
Sure.
Because there's no explanation for it. There's no way you can make up a story that covers that.
So if, say, your daughters came home as young girls.
Yes.
And said, with burned jackets.
Yes.
And clearly they'd been shooting rockets at each other.
Mm-hmm.
You would have gone, good on you, girls.
I don't know how I would have reacted. Feel? I don't know how. Because I do think that kids should be able to do those sort of things.
Okay. And because you think kids should be able to do those kind of things,
do I think it's good?
Did you let your kids do those kind of things?
Well, no, but I didn't stop them from doing it.
I see.
I don't think.
And if you ever caught them doing it, did you scold?
Yeah,
or?
I think I probably would have scolded.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest.
No, that's fine.
It's crazy.
No, parents have to be hypocrites.
We do.
You have to. You have to say, don't do that. And then if there was any, you know, now, didn't you do this, Dad? Yeah.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't.
We had a lot
but
of
you
fun.
Really should. But I but can't say dumb. That you should because I got to be the authority figure.
I mean, I know. We used to take bottle rockets and we'd break the stick off of it.
Uh-huh.
Just lay them on the ground and light it for random fun. So because you didn't know where it was going to fly to.
Sure.
Including your own eyes, obviously.
Right. Well, what we did was we would take a toilet paper tube.
Oh, okay.
We would staple the bottom of it to seal it off. We would then take firecrackers, little red ones. We would break them open. Mm-hmm. We would fill it up with gunpowder.
Good idea.
We would then make a fuse.
We would
soak said fuse in lighter fluid.
Yep.
We would then lay that out. We would then light it. And then we would run like hell.
That's nice.
Mm.
One time.
And here's what it would do. Burn, 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 burn. Nothing.
Yeah.
Should we go and deal with this? Or should we walk away? Or should we, you know what we should? Boom! That's when it happened. Way later than you thought it would.
One Halloween, I was just a mere joiner of this gang of kids.
Right.
I don't want to say I was a ringleader because I wasn't.
Now, was this back when you had all your fingers?
This is back when I had all my fingers. And, and so one of the kids had some they were called seal bombs, he said.
Right. He was with SEAL Team 6.
SEAL Team 6. So they use them, and fishermen use them to scare, I'll put that in quotation marks, seals away from where they're fishing.
Okay. Understood.
Scare the seals. So these are really powerful.
Right.
So
it used to be fishermen would dress up like ghosts and the seals got wise.
they knew where they were.
Yeah.
They would put scare seals out into the water as well.
Oh, you mean like scarecrows?
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
But they were just floating buoys.
That's adorable.
And so we took this seal bomb and we put it in someone's mailbox and lit it.
Okay.
And then ran.
All right. Now let me ask you this question first.
Yeah.
Are we talking old-timey front yard mailbox or are we talking right next to the door?
Side of the house mailbox.
As in, if this sets on fire, the whole house is going up.
Yes. Luckily, it didn't set on fire. It flew about 50 feet.
The mailbox did.
Yes. No joke.
Right.
I've never seen as big an explosion.
Now, when, as young men.
We left.
Oh, I understand you left.
We left.
But you were watching to see it happen first. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, when it first happened, was it delight or was it horror?
It was sort of a mix of, we couldn't believe what we have just done.
Right.
Run away.
Yes.
Some exultation.
Mm-hmm.
Some, you know, pre-high fives, but, you know, whatever the equivalent of that time was.
Understood.
High fives.
Sorry, why I'm laughing at that is I went to a meeting today.
Yes.
And I did very well at said meeting. Let me say, I'm going to brag and say, I saved that meeting.
You scored.
Someone came here with an idea. It was okay. It was fine. And then I added to it. And it was great. And then a woman who was off to my side, to my left, was really pleased with something I said and went for the high five. And but I don't think she's high-fived a lot. And she hit way too hard.
Oh.
I think she hurt her hand.
There's people who do that.
Yeah. I don't think she was used to high-fiving and she just thought this was appropriate. Gave it a hard slam. And then I think immediately it was like when you high-five Superman and then it's like, go, my hand. And I felt a little bad and everyone kind of looked at me like, oh, why'd you do that? I didn't move my hand. It was completely stationary. I did a wall. It was just a wall. I didn't add to this.
You're supposed to have a bit of give to it though.
Are you?
A little give, yeah. A little give to your high-five.
Okay.
When they come in, give a little give. And it hurts less too.
Okay, maybe then I was responsible a bit for hurting your hand. I should have yielded a bit.
You should have yielded a little bit.
I was just playing the wall.
Soften the blow.
Okay, but please continue.
It's weird, isn't it?
So you destroyed someone's house.
But just to go, yeah. I mean, like I say, I was just a joiner of this group.
Is there a statute of limitations on this? Like, are you confessing to something you could get in trouble for right now?
So is there a statute of limitations?
Statute.
I've never seen that statute. Is it here in Vancouver?
Mm-hmm. It was that horny devil one that was by the SkyTrain.
Oh, that was the best. Did you see the I'm going to call it a gif. Did you see the gif of that where the guy is trying, they're taking it down and the guy almost grabs the penis?
Oh, then you'd be
and
devil.
He's just kind of like, whoa. Oh. He does this little kind of whoo and moves his hand really quickly away from that.
That was close.
And does the thigh.
You do not want to have a surprise fetish and find out that's what works for you. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, now I know. Nuts.
And why did they do that then? Why not do it now?
What do you mean?
Well, why did they do it like 2 months ago?
Oh, you mean the people? Oh, I thought you meant why didn't they remove the devil statue now?
Why did they?
Because they removed it immediately because it's a devil with a huge erection.
Yeah. Okay. No, but I mean, why did the person do it then? Why not do it like Halloween's coming?
Why'd you do it at all?
Well, because it's kind of funny. But
it
why?
Is. No, you're not going to sit on that for like that many months.
Not with that big an erection.
Anyway, you're going to, it's hilarious. And you want to have it out there, then?
I guess so.
Right.
I guess you want as much daylight as possible.
Absolutely.
This time of year,
no, once you've gotten the devil statue, you don't want to have to keep that in your apartment.
No,
where are you going to keep it? No. It's huge.
Well, you can use it as a coat rack. People can hang their hat on it, or a coat.
Perhaps they can.
They wouldn't even notice it. Mm-hmm. It would just be in like part of the room. They'd like have their coat hanging there. They wouldn't even pay attention to it. And later on, you'd like, you put it out there, and you say, see that statue put out? And they're like, where'd you get it from? What do you mean, where'd you get it? It was in my apartment. I didn't notice.
So where is the statue now? Does the city have it, or did they destroy it?
In Gregor Robertson's office.
What?
Yeah, he uses it as a hat rack.
Okay, fair enough.
He does that James Bond thing when he walks in, he throws his hat onto it.
Moneypenny. Or you could just lie down and make it a sundial.
I guess you could.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be terrible if you fell down while you're in your backyard, though. Impaled on a penis. So it'd be so hard to explain in your obituary.
Well, you don't have to explain things in your own obituary. Killed by Satan. Do you think you have to write your own obituary?
Fred Jones was killed by Satan in his backyard.
Yeah. No, that's, I was going to say there's worse ways to go, but probably not.
Probably not.
Probably not.
No.
Yeah, it's a Halloweener. Yeah, anyway, folks, if you don't know what we're talking about, someone put up a big devil statue in Vancouver, and so on.
And then people got upset, and they took it down.
Now, are you dressing as anything for Halloween?
No.
Not a dress em up or
no.
Anyone in your family dressing up for
Halloween?
Yeah. You're the only spoil sport.
I am a stick in the mud.
Oh, you're going as a stick in the mud.
Well, no,
That's pretty easy. All you have to do
is be me.
It's just paint yourself not blackface, but like brown, wooden.
That's right.
Make sure it's very wood, and then just find any mud and just stand in there and just go, I don't like Halloween. And everyone goes, oh, he's a stick in the mud. That's hilarious.
Well, I do like Halloween. I'm just not much of a dresser-upper.
Okay.
I'm more of a fixer-upper. I just feel like I don't know what the hell to dress as, for one thing.
Me neither.
And I'm pretty tall, kind of big. And so very little fits me. So I can't, like, you know, be a kind of a throw stuff together kind of a guy. Because then I, you know, I look like I'm into bondage more than, you know, they just all, you know, wrapped up in all these tight coats and tight shirts and
ugh. You can't just put, like, together your blacksmith gear kind of and be that kind of guy. Put on your apron, have a hammer.
I guess.
Yeah, the horseshoe.
I guess I could
greet people at the door and then have your wife dress as a horse. You do that?
Why? Well, but you need two people for a horse.
No, you can just have the head. You just have her, like, poke her head. Poke her head, and then you go, like, not now. I've got to give these children some candy. I'll shoe you later. And then it goes away.
So, should I give them some candy? And then she can go, nay. Sorry, the horse has spoken.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here. Did you like when you went door to door?
Someone dressed up? No, just give me the candy. Yeah. I don't care.
But are they made you sing?
What?
You remember
What's
that?
This make you sing
You
bullshit?
Never had that happen at
No,
the door?
That's Christmas.
No,
There's
not
There's no
Christmas.
Halloween carols.
Oh, no, this happened.
No.
Yes. You'd go to someone's house.
Uh-huh.
And they'd be like, oh, I'll give you candy, but you have to sing.
No. The thing is trick or treat.
Yeah.
The person asking is making the threat. You don't get to make a request of your own.
No,
what
you
are
don't.
They talking about? It's not trick. It's not treat.
They
treat
have,
for song.
They have the hammer. They got the candy.
No,
candy's
dude.
Not in your bag.
No. Who's got the hammer? The kids do, because if you don't give us a treat, you're getting your house egged, and you're getting it all teepeed, and bad stuff's going down.
Yeah, that didn't occur to me.
All right, so what songs did they get you to sing? Like hits of the 70s?
That's right, yeah.
Like a medley?
Can you please sing 10cc's? Oh, I can't remember the song's called now. Forget it. You know that one?
Lost in Love?
No, what, you know the
10cc?
One.
I actually, song, I actually,
it's just in the Guardians of the Galaxy. It's the first song that plays in the film. You know, I'm not in love. That's what it's called.
Right.
I'm not in love.
But don't forget.
Yeah, that's what they made us sing all the time.
Right.
Just standing on the doorstep of the house. I'm not in love. Yeah, we had to do the wah 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 part as well. Like, I'll get the harmonies right.
That's
They're
right.
really insistent.
That you loving know? You is easy because you're beautiful. Because only kids can do that.
He turned into a crow, Mini Ripperton.
Yeah.
Written by Stevie Wonder.
So what songs would... give me the scenario.
You know, just like...
No, I'll be you. I'll be a young Dave Dedrick. What would you be dressed as for Halloween?
I went out as the devil one time.
Okay, so you're a devil
huge
with
a... erection.
You'd be the happy camper meets
That's
the devil.
Right.
Okay, so so ding dong, and you open the door.
I open the door. And so I'm the person.
You're the parent at the door, the person who runs the house.
Why, hello there. Look at how you're all dressed. This is fantastic. All right. Who wants some candy?
Oh, I do. And so do my two younger brothers.
Well, now
who
you have
I assume
to...
I'm with.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Well, I've got some candy for you, but first you have to sing a song.
No, that's not how Halloween works.
Fuck you. I've got the candy.
All right. What song would you like us to sing?
I want you to sing I'm Not in Love. No, they would just, whatever. You can sing Row, Row Your Boat or whatever.
Why?
I don't know.
Why would you make kids do that?
I don't
in
know.
A round?
I hated it.
Would you have to do it all just like Row, 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 Row? No, that wasn't a proper round. You're repeating.
I want you to sing Michael Row the Boat Ashore.
Oh.
Michael Row the Boat Ashore. Yeah, no, it was. Terrible.
That makes no
sense.
I can't
believe that never
was
happened to you.
Was there more than one house that would make you do that?
Yeah.
No, it sounds like through one
the,
crazy
through the
person.
Years, through the years. Yeah.
Okay, folks.
There's someone in our neighborhood in Aldergrove who's made the girls do that too.
What the hell? What did they make them sing? I'm really curious about the song.
There's nothing. Like, whatever. It's like kids' songs. Songs kids like. Whatever. London Bridge is falling down. Row, row your boat. They don't care. Patty.
I have never heard of this in my life. I've never heard of making kids sing at Halloween.
Really?
Never. Because you don't sing Halloween carols.
No, they're...
There's no such thing.
They're not singing Halloween songs.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So why would you do this? Like, it's like only, asking the kids to sing the Monster Mash.
That's the only Halloween
only
song.
Halloween song there is.
I live on the radio when they're like, well, can I play Halloween songs all day? And then it's just the Monster Mash the whole day.
Okay. And I think we might have talked about this.
I guess they could
this.
Do the theme from the Munsters or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. They could just go.
Adam's Family.
I like that I know the theme from the Munsters by heart. And there's many Adam's Family versions. You could do any of those. Here's something I don't understand as a musician. There you go. I think I might have brought this up on the show before when we've had a musician on the show.
Yeah.
Maybe when the David M was on
sure.
or some such. But like everyone tries to get that Christmas hit. because you play the Christmas hit every Christmas and you get your royalties.
Yeah.
Sweet, sweet royalties. No one goes for the Halloween hit.
Yeah.
No one. And there's only one damn song.
There really is.
Write a song about a ghost, you dumbass. Like, they'll play it because they can't play Monster Mash all the time. And Monster Mash is a piece of shit. You know? So, like, it's not like you're not going to match the quality.
Is Monster Mash really a piece of shit?
Kinda. Isn't it?
No, it was a graveyard smash.
He's saying it's a graveyard smash.
That's true. It's a self-gloss.
Like Jingle Bell Rock,
yeah.
Which isn't really rock.
No.
It's a song that's telling you what it is, yet it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rocking Around the Christmas Tree is much better than that song.
It's a little better, but still. Any song that goes like, this is a rock song, it's rock and roll, we're having a rock and roll time. That's true. You know, that's not, no you're not. And now some rap, we're rapping now, we're having Christmas a hip-hop time. Where's hip-hop music? Here it is. No, you know, you got your, what is he doing? Is he doing Boris Karloff with that? Is that Boris Karloff?
Yeah, that's
is
right,
that who he's doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so you got a little Boris Karloff. That's nice. You were working in a lab late one night, and then you saw a bunch of monsters, and they were all dancing, and it's not that funny. There's no real build. You know, whatever happened to the Transylvania twist is about the funniest thing that's in there, and that's not great. To the point where you kind of want to go, hey, look, again, I'm not telling you what to do, musicians, but the Transylvania twist doesn't exist. You could just write that damn song, and people would always piggyback it with this.
Sure.
You know, whatever happened to it? I don't know. Write it. And there you go.
I guess you could do songs from Rocky Horror Picture Show. Those would kind of count as Halloween-y sort of songs.
Right. You could throw a time warp in there. Absolutely.
But it feels like you're stretching it still. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It's not. It's underrepresented.
And it's not like you haven't got your Rob Zombies out there.
Yeah.
It's not like you haven't got people who
wants to listen to that stuff, though.
People who wants to listen to Monster Mash, but you have to because it's the only song out there.
But at least that song has like a tune to it, like something that Rob Zombie would write. It would just be like this sort of noisy.
Yeah, you do a little Dragula or something. That's right. But you need to just write like a little Halloween song. Just write the word Halloween in it and you'll be fine. Yeah. Anyone. It's money is lying on the ground, people. I can't do it. I'm not a musician. Just write the damn thing.
There are Halloween novelty songs. There have I can't remember what it's called. There's a few of them, and I can't remember what they're called. Because I know them because Frank Zappa worked on these songs.
Okay.
Because he worked in the town of Cucamonga, one of the greatest town names ever.
Okay.
He worked at this place called Studio Z. I don't know if it was called Studio Z till after he took it over, but he worked for this guy who owned his own studio, recording studio, and they would like try to try and make hit songs. You know what I mean? They'd be like, what's popular? Or what's missing from the market? What's missing from the market is a Halloween hit.
That's right. What are kids into now? A lot of them have polio. Got it.
That's right.
Let's do it.
Do it.
I wheelie love you.
That's right. Ring around the polio. So then they did like a few songs that were like, you know, Halloween related, sort of Dracula themed sort of things. I'm sorry, I can't remember the names because frankly, they're awful. So I listened to them maybe once because I bought a CD that had like, you know, all these songs from early Frank Zappa. And you're like, early Frank Zappa, that sounds really interesting. Oh, what? Did I fall asleep at some point in this CD? Oh, too bad. It's okay, but it's not like, but I mean, that's a problem. When you're writing Halloween tunes, it's not that inspiring. Like Christmas has a lot of sentimental, romantic, religious, you know, nostalgic elements to it that you can work on and actually be inspired by.
Let me throw you a couple of scenarios out. Okay, here's the thing.
Sure.
You know, they used to love in the 50s. My girlfriend / boyfriend's dead. You know, they love those songs. Like
there are those songs.
They love those songs. Mm-hmm. Now Halloween angle on it.
Yeah.
Back for Halloween.
Back for Halloween.
You can date the ghost of the person you love. Yeah. You only see them once a year. You see them on Halloween.
Yeah.
There you go. How about that? How about now you got mistaken identity. There's a lot of that. But how about, my girlfriend was kissing the other Frankenstein.
Yeah.
That guy, you know, it's a mistake. You know, it's like, oh, no, my girlfriend was kissing the other Frankenstein. And so you're so angry about that. Completely works. Both of those tried and true. Sure. You're sweeter than candy. You're sweeter than candy. There you go.
Yeah.
I bit into a razor and thought of you. All right, that's not great. But, you know.
So I Want Candy by the Nightcrawlers. That could count as a Halloween song.
I Want Candy? No, because you're talking about candy on the beach.
Ah.
Yeah, you won't be on the beach in October, unless you're in Australia.
Or a Halloween bonfire with fireworks.
Yeah, there you go. Fireworks. Now you got fireworks and masks. So much. Fireworks, that's romantic.
Yeah.
Masks. Mystery, you know, and then you move the mask and, oh, you're so beautiful. Or I fell in love with Dracula. Something. People love the vampires. You know, everyone loves the Twilights. All you got to do is do a song about loving a vampire. Now, the Twilight fans listen to it all year long, but they got to dig it out for Halloween. Cha-ching! Money in the bank!
Well, thinking about
your... Cash that check, musicians! don't you like money?
Thinking about your here's a song. Here's a Halloween song that people haven't used. My Boyfriend's Back.
Okay.
There you go.
Your Boyfriend's Back? What has that got to do with Halloween?
Well, you said he's a zombie. My Boyfriend's Back.
Oh, my Boyfriend's back, and he's going to be a zombie.
And now,
My boyfriend's back, and he's going to be a zombie.
Well, no, you're going to get in trouble. You don't have to change it that much.
My boyfriend's going to bite you, and he's going to turn you.
You don't have to change it at all. What are you changing the lyrics for?
Hey,
it just says
the
my boyfriend's
priest, he said that you're coming back from the dead. Hey, you're biting my head. Hey. Yeah, it's great. It works. It writes itself.
It didn't need to be rewritten, though. It already... My boyfriend's back. You're gonna be in trouble. There you go. Yeah. You don't need to add anything else to it.
Well, it's like you're gonna get a beaten. I think it's gonna be you're gonna get eaten. You gotta change that. At least.
Sure.
But that song is already copywritten. You're not gonna make any money off it. Why would you? Well, that doesn't do you any good. You know, unless you're Weird Al, you're gonna make a parody of it. You still got to split the money with the original artist.
Yeah,
boo.
That's true.
You want to? You know, here's all I'm saying. We occasionally do have musicians on the show.
Yeah.
I'm saying to all of our musician guests, get off your ass and write that Halloween song. And you might say to me, Ian,
yes.
Why don't you write something Halloween-y?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you? Hey, listen, motherfucker.
Yeah.
I've written a Halloween special for Cartoon Network. So there. Boom. Scary Godmother 2. I did it. So shut up. That's what I say. I'm doing my job.
Well,
I'm picking up my slack, Jack.
Yes.
Tonight, which we're recording this a little early, I'm going out and I'm going to go do the Critical Hit Show. We're going to do a Halloween thing. So, yeah. I keep Halloween in my heart.
Yeah.
And I don't think these musicians treat it with the respect it deserves. You know what? Jack O'Lantern died for your sins.
Is that right?
On Halloween, all these years ago.
Sure.
You know? They nailed him with candy corns to a big piece of toffee.
Yes.
And set him on fire. And I think that deserves a bit of respect.
Wasn't it a big piece of molasses candy?
Later.
Yeah.
Like the toffee, if you burn toffee, you get molasses candy.
Is that what happened?
That's where they come from, yeah.
Well, our former friend of the show, David M., mm-hmm. has written Employ the Dead. You know?
Ooh, that could be.
That's a Halloween-y kind of
song. That could be a good one.
The Man Who Collected Diseases.
It's all right.
That's pretty good.
It's all right, but now you're talking like Employ the Dead.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, again, by the time you listen to this, Halloween has passed.
Yes, it's passed. Passed
now,
on.
Has passed away.
Yes.
Has been buried. Good. And will rise from the grave.
Next year.
Like
Jack O'Lantern.
Yeah. Or if you're... If you're the Shopper's Drug Mart over here, you'll start seeing the Halloween stuff in July. Weird.
Mm-hmm.
Weird, you know.
What's the weirdest is the mix of Halloween and Christmas stuff together.
Oh,
you're
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Why?
Yeah, you know what? That's the point of Halloween is it keeps Christmas at bay.
Not really.
It should.
It doesn't,
That's the rule.
It doesn't.
In the States, it does with, like, the Thanksgiving. You're supposed to, I mean, you do have a little bit of Christmas, but it's not until, you know, Thanksgiving is over that everyone goes nuts. But here in Canada, the second it's Halloween's done, ho ho! Ah, fuck off!
Yes.
Yeah.
Indeed. Now I went to a haunted house last night.
Okay.
We have a visitor in town. Correspondent of the show, Gavin Pitts, is here in Vancouver, and he's from Australia, where there is minimal celebration of Halloween.
And we've said why.
Because
every terrifying real life thing is there.
Okay, yes.
And you're not scared of a ghost when you've got a crocodile.
Yes.
Because what are you going to be more scared of? Something that can't touch you or a crocodile?
What about a ghost crocodile?
It would not be able to bite you, so less scary.
Then how come people are so scared of ghosts in movies?
Because they remind us of our future, which is the grave.
The grave. But if that's your future, they're not in the grave, are they?
Well, I'm sure they're in the grave when they're not seeing you. They're not just hanging in the attic, sitting on a stool.
They go back to the grave and
yeah.
lie down in their body?
I don't know where they go. It's not my business. But this is the afterlife. That's why I think ghosts are scary, because it's like, oh, it's reminding me about that whole death thing.
I watched The Conjuring the other day. It was pretty good. Have you seen it? No, you don't like scary movies.
Not.
You don't like
no,
scary
I movies. No, I don't like ghost movies. Yeah. I don't like those.
Well, my problem with ghost films, well, my problem with any film like that is yeah. when they show the ghosts. Once you show the ghosts, it's done.
Uh-huh.
You're done. Movie's over. You might as well just stop the movie then. Because the ghosts aren't scary. They're just people with black around their eyes. That's all they are.
Uh-huh.
Their faces are white. They have some black around their eyes. And then they yell. That's a ghost, apparently. And you're kind of like, well, now that I see that it's just a person with some black around his eyes who yells, That's it.
Did you watch Constantine this week?
Yes.
They seem to use everything you could do in a ghost movie. Everything. Yeah, they use the possessing, throwing you around. They use the grandmother combing the hair. But then what's happening? Oh, she's got goo in her mouth. They used turn on your computer. There's an eyeball in it. It's just like everything. We're going to use everything like they're not going to have a second episode. Just every goddamn thing we can do is in this one.
Well, it suffered from a lack of creepiness.
Well, that's because everything was happening.
I know.
There was no time to set up.
It's for, like in my complaint about Blair Witch Project, which is the end of the film where it should be the scariest moment. They're running through the house with a camera. And so everything's happening so quickly, you don't have time to build up suspense. Mm-hmm. So you're just kind of like, they're running, they're walking. Then, oh, that's there. Oh, this is happening. Oh, there's a guy standing there. Oh, this happened. Oh, it's the end. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That was something. I don't know what it was, but not that great. But
50% of the people in our home liked the Constantine thing.
Well, I didn't hate it.
I didn't either.
I just didn't.
I actually kind of liked it. You know, I went like, watching it though, I went, you can't do this every week. You just blew all your budget. Like this, that's infinite money was being thrown at that thing. I was like, oh my gosh, that's just, you can't do this. So I'm kind of curious what's going to happen when everything has to calm down.
I liked when she touches the amulet and what she sees. I thought that was interesting, but a lot of the rest of the special effects seemed a little wasted.
Yeah, it seemed like kind of everything that had been in every ghost movie in the last, like, 20 years.
Yeah.
But you were saying you went to a haunted house. Sorry.
Well, yeah. So
and Gavin Pitts, you mentioned.
Yes. I took Gavin to a haunted house.
Oh, okay.
Because he's never been to a haunted house. And he's a big fan of horror films. But maybe we'll talk with him about it next week. That would probably be better, actually.
Was he a pleasant individual?
He's very nice.
Good.
Very nice fellow.
How about that Australian accent? Does that get to you after a while?
It's not as pronounced as our previous guest, Shane.
Yeah.
Because I think Gavin is an urban Australian.
Right.
And Shane is a rural Australian.
Right.
Where the accent is, I think, a little more pronounced if you're from the rural areas than the urban areas.
Okay.
Kind of like if you're from Austin versus if you're from Lubbock, Texas.
Right. And if you bring that up to them, you get a punch in the face.
People from Austin?
From Austin. No, but the rural. If you talk, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Talk to an Australian about their accent.
Okay.
You're looking for a fight.
Well, I did talk to Gavin about his accent.
Oh, did you fight him?
We did have to fight. It was, yeah.
Oh, that's okay.
Well. You know, apparently it's...
Was it more fisty punchy or wrestly?
It was kind of uncomfortable wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So you went to the haunted house. Now, what kind of things were in the haunted house?
Oh, everything.
Okay.
Talking about throwing the kitchen sink.
Throwing a baby at you. That kind of thing. Was there a creepy baby?
There was creepy girl.
Creepy little girl.
Creepy little girl,
played by a little girl?
Played, no. There.
Played by a puppet?
Played, no, no. There was actual, like, people...
Yep.
To jump out at you or to yell at you and things like that.
Yeah.
It's one of those.
I don't care for the jumping out and yelling.
I don't mind that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind it if it's done in
a. That's not scare to me. That's just being startled, which is
not weird. That thing. I don't like that either. No, this is more like they're in a tableau and they play a part in it.
Okay.
So you're going into this sort of like, say, it's a mental institution that's run amok. And so it's just this crazy. You know, and everywhere you go, each section of it is a sort of different tableau. So, you know, it's like crazy hospital, and then your mental institution or school run. You know, school gone to the whatever to the
crazy DMV.
Crazy. That's right. That's where the zombies are. Yeah, and so they just seem to be attracted there. They're working behind the counter.
Yep,
it's just weird.
Crazy flu shot.
But you seem to want to talk about it, so I guess I will talk about it. We can talk about other things with Gavin. What was weird about... Okay.
Or we'll get his side of things.
We can get his side of things. That's true. So...
Because you're the experienced
haunted
house man.
Yeah.
He's the first timer.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's done in a garden center in Surrey. It's a place called Potter's Garden Center.
Okay.
And what they do every Halloween is they, for whatever reason, I guess garden centers aren't very popular in October, they just...
Mm-hmm.
The whole place is turned in, like the whole place is turned into a haunted house. In fact, this year it was two haunted houses. They had one that was called Sickness, spelled without a C, S-I-K-N-E-S-S. And the other one was called 10,000 Screams. So you had your choice.
Or you could go to both.
Or you could go to both, which we did. The first one we went to, which was Sickness.
Gotcha.
It was pretty good. I had some stuff that I'd seen before, like, because I've been a few times.
Yeah, now this is a hospital situation?
It's everything. It's just a whatever.
So the name means nothing.
The name means nothing. It's differentiates.
I disagree with this completely at this point.
Yeah.
If you've got two houses, pick two themes, stick with them. That's what I say.
It'd be hard to have too similar a theme, though, because I think the way it works is you're just kind of going from thing to thing. And I think it would be kind of boring if it was just the same tableau the whole time.
Okay.
You know, you want to be like the jungle thing, the hospital thing, the whatever else. I can't remember all the different tableaus, but and so they have like the, you know, and they have different people playing different parts. So the first time I went, actually, I was really impressed by the girl I saw like a few years ago who did this part where we come in and she's screaming at us where her baby is gone. Like, where is my baby? Do you have my baby? And it's actually really freaky the first time, you know, this girl was like, so she really gave it all to that part. And when I went with Lisa and the girls, and basically I was in the front. Mm-hmm. They were hiding behind me and pushing me through the haunted house as quickly as they could.
Okay.
So I was kind of like, well, let's just wait and let's see what, whoop, I guess I'm not going to see. And this is like every room, like we go through, like they had this fantastic thing where, I didn't say it this time, where they had like a glass window and inside there's some sort of science experiment going on, but they had like actual blood, like, or actual blood, but I mean actual like fake blood splashing against the window and stuff while the saw is sawing into this person. So it's kind of like, well, let's see what's going on here. They're just like, no, let's just keep going. Whoops, sorry.
That's okay.
Oh, goodness.
That's all right.
All right, and we're back. Sorry for that brief intermission.
If I'm getting this right, where we just broke from you was Dave was talking about gushing liquids coming off of a corpse.
Yes.
And to illustrate this point, he flung his Coca-Cola at my phone.
your phone is the victim.
Yeah.
And okay. I'll show you how it went. So this time, Gavin and I were walking through it, and he was much more calm than I was.
I like
horror movies. Mm-hmm. I like roller coasters, but I will not lie to you when I say that I can get scared. And sometimes I can get scared shitless. And I was really scared sometimes. Like I was nervous.
Yeah.
Because I get, you know, I just get uneasy and then I start to imagine things and then it gets worse.
Yeah, that's the problem is imagination. Mm-hmm. The problem isn't the thing. The problem is your imagination going, hey, I can take it from here, grabbing the baton. Whee! And the imagination starts running down the darker forest, and you're like, no imagination, come back, imagination. It's like, nope.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I somehow convinced myself that in this carport that was around the corner, my friend lived around the corner from my house, so I would walk from my house to his house, and then at night I would walk back home, and it'd be dark. And I convinced myself that there was a murderous robot in the carport of this house.
Mm.
I knew there wasn't a killer robot in there, but I kept thinking about it. I just made it worse and worse for myself.
Well, this is the other night. I'm getting up at like 3 a.m. or something's happened. Cat's gone meow, and I got to go to the bathroom. So I walk down our hallway to the bathroom, and I'm like, and we got a big mirror in the bathroom, like a wall-sized mirror in the bathroom, basically. And as I'm going, I'm not looking at the mirror, and I think like, what if I turned and it was me, but me screaming? Wouldn't that be terrifying? Yep. Now I can't look at the goddamn mirror. Because I know I'm not dreaming, but in a dream, you think you're not dreaming. Mm-hmm. What if you're dreaming?
Yeah.
You don't know. Hey, how about that? So I'm like not making eye contact with the mirror as I'm washing my hands. I'm like, this is stupid. I should just look up. Maybe I shouldn't look up. You know, now it really feels like a dream where I'd look up and I'd just be screaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, one time I was getting ready to go. I was by myself at home. It was just in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it was a scary time or anything. But I started thinking how scary it would be if a wolf got in your house, but not a normal wolf, a wolf that looked like the wolf from like the Big Bad Wolf in Disney cartoons.
Right.
How weirdly scarier that would be than like a normal wolf if it, you know, suddenly was in your room.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking about it, and I was putting my shoes on, and I was thinking about this, and I think, oh, that'd be so scary, man. And then my dog walked past, and I just saw it was like a foot.
Yeah.
It looked like a foot, and it was suddenly I just leapt in the air like, whoa. What am I doing? I just freaked myself out like just an idiot. So
yeah.
I was so disappointed in myself. So anyway, I'm a mark for these people.
Right. And you keep jumping on stools like the maid in a Tom and Jerry cartoon. Right,
holding my dress up.
Yeah.
And Thomas? And then, so we get to I didn't know it was the end, but it was near the end of the first house. And we come around the corner and there's this girl standing in the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the clown from the current American Horror Story?
Yes.
So she had her mouth made up kind of like that. She had this big black smile drawn onto her face.
Sure.
And then had all these fangs drawn into that into that black hole.
Okay.
And it, so it hit her mouth. You couldn't see her mouth from, and so it just looked like this big smiley kind of fangy face mm-hmm. of this girl. And the rest of it was white with the black around the eyes because she's a ghost. Ghosts have black around their eyes, just so people know. And then she was holding this kind of like, it looked like kind of like a machete, but it wasn't machete because that's dangerous, but it was like one.
Sure.
It was like a hard object that she, and she would smack it against the wall. And so she's just standing there totally like with no expression, just smack, smack. And of course I'm like, oh boy, this is kind of freaky. And then she starts walking towards me. Mm-hmm. So Gavin, he's just kind of like, well, just kind of puts his arms on his sides like, this is interesting. I'm backing away. So she's like, I know who I'm going to go. So then she comes up to me smacking this thing. And I'm kind of like, and, you know, I know that she's just, you know, playing a role. Yeah. I'm not scared of her as a ghost. And the problem is when you go, before you go on the ride, they're like, okay, there's some rules. Don't touch the actors.
Absolutely.
Don't
not.
Judge the actors. Don't, they give you all these rules, right? So you can't touch them.
Yeah.
You can't say, leave me alone or whatever. You have to kind of play with the part, right? So I'm going along with it. So I'm kind of smiling, but I'm so nervous. But she puts her face like right up, like seriously, so close. Like her nose was almost touching my nose.
Yeah.
And then she's like walking towards me and I'm backing away.
Yeah.
Backing away. Yeah. Backing away. Backing away. And then she opens this door up and she makes me go stand in this room. She closes the door. But it had like a... It was like a school thing, like a school that had, you know, been whatever, post zombie apocalypse, whatever.
Right.
And so I'm standing in this room and she turns her back to me. She's just standing there. So I'm like kind of trapped in this room because she's just standing there. Oh, the other thing was when she was walking towards me, I was kind of angling myself towards the wall because my idea was when she starts coming towards me, she can't touch me.
Yeah.
And I can just kind of scoot along the wall and get past her. But no, she puts her arm out right against the wall. And so I bump into her. So I was like, well, she touched me. That's breaking the rules, isn't it? But I still didn't, you know, I still went back into the room. So then I was standing in there with her. She's standing with her back towards me. Then she starts walking away. So and then I was like, oh, let's open the door. And then she turns around and points at me. So I just close the door again. And I was smiling. I know I was enjoying this. It wasn't, you know. So then she went past Gavin and walked down and sort of disappeared.
Right.
So then I was like, phew. So then we walked down. We were going through the school. There's like a, you know, a smashed up locker room. You know, the lockers are everywhere and there's some sort of, there's a few animatronics in it and then live people.
Sure.
So something's happening there. And then we go into this other kind of classroom setting and she's there again, right in my face. So basically the last part of the haunted house, I'm just walking backwards, staring in this person's eyes, walking backwards. And she just backs me up all through this thing. And then we get towards where there's an emergency exit and she disappears out the emergency exit. So, phew. So then I was like, just saying, well, that's like, she was really good. Like I was, and then, so we go outside, we walk out the door and there she is again. She's standing outside, like right at the exit.
Yeah.
Right up face towards me again. And then.
Is Gavin enjoying this, by the way?
I think Gavin, you getting terrified. I think Gavin was having a lot of fun.
Okay.
And so then she's like staring at me. So then we were outside. So I thought, well, you know, oh, the rules are gone now. So I just got closer to her and I just stared, like had like a staring contest with her. And then she just started to smile. And then she turned her head and she went back inside.
Good.
It was good. She was really good. I actually complimented her a few times to different staff people there. Just hopefully it'll get back to
that. That is how you defeat a real ghost.
Just have a staring contest?
Having a staring contest with them until they crack up. And then they're like, ah, you got me. I'm a ghost. I got to go.
That was probably the best part of the evening for me. I really... and it reminded me, because what's funny is when I went to my grad reunion, there was a lady there who was a close talker. Mm-hmm. Do you know like close talkers?
Yeah.
Like, she had her face so close to mine. And same with this girl. Like, you know, I'm not usually that close to someone's face unless I'm going to kiss them. Mm-hmm. So it feels weird if someone's like got their face that close to you and they're just talking to you. You know, like in this case, it was just like this kind of scene we were playing and that was fine.
Yeah.
But when you're talking to someone like at a reunion, you know, we're just in this sort of public place and the person has their face so close to yours, like seriously, like centimeter away from me.
It would make sense if you're in a movie. That's how close people talk in movies.
Yeah, that's fine in a movie because you need the camera has to be able to fit the people.
Yeah, and you're like, this makes no sense. I'm not able to see both of your eyes. Both of your eyes have now made you a cyclops. You're so close.
Yeah, it's weird.
I can't focus on you. Yeah.
It was very strange. And it's a weird signal you're sending to someone. I don't know if it's like a... I don't know if it's a way
power
to...
Power move?
Power move, yeah. I don't know what it is. Because she was actually being really nice and we were talking and she wasn't like, you know, being aggressive or anything like that. I didn't feel that way. I just felt like that's how she's comfortable
talking.
Was there
music playing? Could it have been like hard?
Yeah, and she could, you know, there was, it was kind of loud.
Sometimes it's the
it
only
wasn't
way.
Even the music that was loud. It was just people loud in a room.
Yeah, the white noise people in the background. Room, When you're saying like the thing about the haunted house, it just reminds me of why I stopped going to a lot of plays friends of mine were doing. Because you'd get that interactive theater thing and you wouldn't know.
Okay.
And they'd come up to you and just like, you know, why did you do that to me, daddy? Mm. And they're like, well, I didn't molest you. I'm just paid a ticket to see a show. I don't want to be the dad that raped you. I'm not. You know, what? No, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry for that. I didn't mean to. I guess I take responsibility. What? I'm the... And everyone's looking at me. Look at that son of a... He molested her. I'm not. I'm just a guy. You saw me in the lineup. Clearly, I'm not old enough to be her father. This is bogus. I can't say that. I can't argue.
Yeah.
Boo. I don't want to be this. I don't even like it like in regular shows. I don't like being on the aisle because like people come up and like, why don't you dance with us in our musical? Why don't you go to hell? I paid money so we wouldn't have this going on.
It is brave of you to admit it on our show, though, that you molested this girl.
This fictional character?
This fictional character that you molested. It wasn't that kind of street theater, though. There wasn't that much involvement that you were dragged into the scene. This girl just made it her mission to do that to me.
This specific venue was, we're all sitting on the floor, and it's one of those theaters where like it's four women, one on each wall, and they're all having their story, and they're all telling their personal stories. And the one woman, because I'm in the front row of this wall, thinking I'm in the back, wrong, the back is the front, the front is the back, everything's twisted and turned. She starts over there, I'm like, oh shit, I'm in the front. And now I got to make eye contact with her because it's rude otherwise, because she's telling these deep stories. I'm like, ugh, now I gotta like look at her through this whole thing. And then she crawls towards me, and then I get the confrontation there, and I'm like, please, wall number two, just start up and tell me how you killed your husband. Please, wall number two. And you, tell me about your dead baby, wall number three. Wall number four, you seem to be happy, but you've got a really dark secret we'll find out at the end. But you seem to have your shit together. Damn it.
Wow.
But yeah, I got to be that part. And that's why I stopped going to those kind of intimate shows, because there was a lot of that business going
on. Yeah, I wouldn't like that either. I'm not.
No, I like being in a show. I just don't like being in a show when I'm in the audience.
Yeah. That's how I feel in this show when you throw things at me like that.
Oh, sorry.
I feel
about
like
that
entrance.
No, oh, wow. Really put you on the spot. I didn't like that interaction with the Coke and my phone either. Wasn't great.
You didn't like my little street theater there?
No. Well, that's what I feel like when we do the Critical Hit show. Like, it has audience involvement, but I would never like go to an audience member and like, hey, you, and drag them up.
Yeah.
I never like that business. It's always like, you got to volunteer.
Sure.
Hand in the air and you can come up, but And then take care of the person completely. I would never like, Ugh. Oh, I hate that so much. It's just a real... nails on the chalkboard situation with me. Now you mentioned that haunted house. That sounds terrifying. Not the scariness, but just someone looking at you, that much eye contact.
And that
can't
close.
Take it.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable with people that close to me.
No.
So it made me uncomfortable, but it was a fun sort of thing. I didn't feel uncomfortable. I didn't feel like I was being threatened.
And I'm glad that Gavin got to see that.
And he got to, I was there. I just did it for him. You're right. It had nothing to do with me. I was just playing up for
him. Yeah, that's right.
Thanks.
I'm not scared of anything.
I'm a brave fellow. I get very scared.
I'm a manly man. Let's have push-up contest now.
I'm not manly at all. And I really...
Elizabeth Manly.
Who's she? A skater?
Yeah, she won figure a silver skater. Medal for figure skating.
That's right. Elizabeth Manly. Our Elizabeth. What was I going to say? Yeah, I feel like when I watch like Evil Dead, the first Evil Dead film, that film terrifies me.
Mm.
Like I get really scared, but I like that feeling. I don't not like it. I like the feeling of like, ooh, this is really scary. You know, like,
can you turn off the scary in your head later? Do you have control over turning off the scary?
Yeah.
That I think is my thing. Cause like, as I've said before, I used to hallucinate as a kid and like when things started, I couldn't shut them off.
Yeah.
It would be like taking acid, but of course I didn't take acid as a kid, but it was that kind of thing. And then
that you know of.
Well, maybe. Who knows? It was the 70s. Who knows what I was.
Your parents
was in the Lick-A-Made.
psychological control thing. Yeah.
Could be. Doing some experiments for the government.
Yeah.
But I couldn't turn it off. Right. Mm-hmm. So like the things would keep going. Things would keep going. So there was no.
Wait, are you Project X?
Maybe. You know, so that's my problem with it. Like if I see a scary movie, my brain every night for like a month will be taking me to that town. I'm like, I can't sleep now, man. You know, and I've got enough of that stuff going on in my head on my own if I want to. Yeah, I just don't need it, man. It's fuel for a car that I don't want to drive, you know?
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of horror movies, and they're fine.
Mm-hmm. I've dragged you to a few.
And I don't mind, like, something like Constantine. It's interesting, because, like, there's all the things that you would normally consider.
Not scary, though.
But it's interesting, because it's all the things that would be scary in any other movie, but put all together in that jammed package, yeah, one after the other, and yeah, it's not.
Well, because there's no... Because what's... It's the the thing we know from movies now, like I was saying about the ghosts, is that the monster isn't scary. The monster's never that scary.
Mm-hmm.
When you finally reveal the monster, it's pretty disappointing usually because in no way does it match what you were expecting.
Right,
because
the monster up to that point had all your own fears attached
exactly,
to it.
Exactly.
And now you've peeled your fears away and you've just seen what the writer or director's fears are, what they want to present to you.
Or just what the art director thought was interesting looking. You know, like we can make it look, the monster look like this or the hag look like this.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like in The Conjuring, there's a scene where they're in their own because I don't know if you.
By the way,
know
is this based on a true story?
It's based on a true story that some people made up.
Is this one that involves the couple that discovered the Amityville Horror House? Is that couple? The
is that are the same people?
Well,
they
I
are.
Know. I
they
know
are exorcists.
I know the Annabelle story is from is that couple?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's the same
oh, really?
Universe. Annabelle and
okay,
this,
yeah,
think?
Yeah. Annabelle's in this
okay.
film.
Interesting. By the way, a creepy doll being creepy. Boo.
No, it's good.
Oh, creepy.
It's well done.
A creepy doll
no,
should...
No, it's well
nah,
done.
I don't know.
It's well done.
Okay.
Really well done.
All right.
That's the best part of that film.
The creepy doll?
The creepy doll, yeah.
Have you seen Annabelle?
No, I have not seen Annabelle.
You'll enjoy it.
Still in the theater, so okay. I'm not going to go. I can't be bothered though.
All right.
But The Conjuring,
Okay, so The Conjuring, what'd you like?
Well, what I liked about it was... Well, I mean, what I liked about one is it had really good actors in it. You know, so it wasn't like... You know, because I was thinking... I was saying, actually, to Gavin last night, I said, you know, horror in a way is like comedy. You know, it's more about timing than it is about, like, performance, per se. So you really want actors who know how to deliver, you know, whatever they're delivering and, you know, to have a sense of the timing and stuff like that, right? So, you know, otherwise the woodenness of it can kind of break the wall, break your concentration of... And so, you know, if you have people who are all serious, so it had, like, Lily Taylor in it, mm-hmm. Ron Livingston from Office Space, Patrick Wilson, I think his name is. He's does a lot of stuff.
Was he the Night Owl in Watchmen?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. I was thinking of him from the A-Team, because I'm dumb. But anyway, and then I can't remember the actress's name, but she was in Bates Motel. She was the mom in Bates Motel.
Okay.
Do you know who I'm talking about, the actress?
No, I don't. I haven't really watched Bates Motel.
Okay. She was in the film with Jake Gyllenhaal where he's going back, keeps going the same time.
Donnie Darko?
No. It's one where he's on the train and they're trying to find out who the terrorist
is.
So he
okay.
keeps.
Gotcha.
She's sort of his handler in that film.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember.
I want to say Failsafe. Is that the name of the movie?
Could be. I don't remember.
Okay. All right.
It's directed by David Boyce.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. Very good film. Whose name I can't remember.
Right.
Because I'm dumb.
No, you're not dumb.
But
you just have no need to remember those things. So your brain has not remembered it. That's
true.
Fine.
That's true.
You'll know how to drive home at the end of that. What if you didn't know how to do that? That would be
that would be
problems.
Bad. Yeah, that'd be bad. So. So, you know, all the actors are good in it. And then, so the best part, I think the best part of the film, and I think the filmmakers realize this, or the producers realize this after the film, and they're like, mm-hmm. you know what was good in that movie? Annabelle. That was really scary. Let's make a film just about Annabelle.
Okay.
Because that doll was
Annabelle is
scary.
The Fonzie.
Well, you know, I think that people in Victorian times had a different sense of what was cute.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
If you look at dolls from that time period,
mm-hmm.
you look at them, I don't care... What you, it doesn't have to be for a movie, like a scary
okay.
movie. You just look at any doll from that time period. You're like, that's not cute. That's freaking weird looking. Like, why would you even think that was cute?
But anything from now is, too, if you take it into the future.
Yeah.
If you look at a My Little Pony doll in 100 years, and you look at that thing, you will not want that in your room.
No,
it's
that's true.
It's horrifying.
That's right. That's right. So
what a Smurf on your shelf. Look at that thing. Horrifying in 100 years.
What we think of as cute now, or then, you know, our tastes have changed, so we value different elements of cuteness. So dolls from that time look creepy to us
right.
because we don't appreciate whatever that quality is. And so, but in that, like in the opening sequence in the film, what's scary about the doll is that it doesn't move. It doesn't do anything, but it does weird things that you don't expect it. You know,
like,
well, there's a scene where the girls want to get rid of it because mm-hmm. they realize that this doll is freaking terrifying. So they throw it in a dumpster. So they're in their apartment and there's a knock on the door. Who could it be? Is it Annabelle? Is Annabelle knocking at the door? So they go to the front door.
No, it's a doll. It can't be Annabelle. It's a doll. Doll can't knock on a door. But go ahead. What happens?
They open the door. They open the front door and there's no one there.
Oh, of course. Because there's...
But she's inside. They open another door and she's inside the... The apartment.
Oh, so someone put the doll inside the apartment.
Yes, someone put the doll
inside
the
apartment. And they distracted with the knock at the door. Simple magician's trick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so...
Are you saying this doll crawled out of a dumpster, knocked on the door, climbed in a window, and went there? That doll's got that much free time?
I don't know.
To do that kind of shit?
I don't know what it did.
Why'd the doll want to do all that shit?
Well, you have to see. I guess you just have to see Annabelle to understand. Annabelle's the prequel that explains Annabelle.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't.
Here's my problem with almost all these movies. It's way too.
It's not real.
No, it's just way too complicated a plan for this doll to do. Like, especially when it's stuff like.
No, it doesn't feel. It actually feels simple.
Does it feel simple for the doll to do a knock on the door than like the Flash?
Is it knocking on the door? Like, you just don't know what's doing what. I mean, it's a spirit inhabiting the doll.
When we look away,
the doll isn't anything.
Okay.
It's the spirit inside the doll. It's not even the ghost. It's some sort of
a doll spirit.
Yeah, some sort of demonic possession.
A demon.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a demon from hell.
Yeah.
So hell exists, and there's a demon in hell.
Yeah, if you accept the Conjuring universe, you have to accept the existence of God and everything else.
And it's an interactive hell that will fuck around things on Earth.
Apparently.
So a demon, and this is a demon's job,
yeah,
is to come up and possess a doll.
How
do you get that gig as a demon?
It's more complicated than that. You're simplifying it in a smart ass sort of way. So
all right, I always think like
it's fun in the film. It's very effective.
It's everything that's scary to you. Like whenever I see these movies, though, it's like there's always like a guy who's turned around, right, and he doesn't see that something creepy's happening behind him, and you're thinking, waste of time, ghost. What was the point then, ghost? Like, are you doing it just for yourself? It's like if you saw the ghost jerking off behind him. Like, who cares? You're doing this for yourself at this point. You're not scaring him. You're achieving nothing. Yeah. What are you doing, ghost?
Well, if he's jacking off, he's achieving something.
Yeah, I guess so. And that's where the ectoplasm comes from. But like, whenever I see that, I'm just like, well, you're just a stupid ghost then.
Yeah.
This is dumb ghost business. Like, if you're actually doing something that affects the guy and leads you towards, you know, him being so scared he dies, and now you got another ghost in the house, and like, haha, good for you. I mean, that makes sense.
Ghosts just fuck around
with way too complicated plans.
In The Conjuring, it's basically a curse on the house that acts in a way that has a similar resolution. I don't want to give it all away.
That's fine.
But so people, you know, come to the house. These things happen in a set way and has a set conclusion. And it's happened throughout history since the curse started, you know. So it's a fun film. But as I said, I mean, it breaks down for me when it starts showing. When you go from creepiness, which is, you know, things you can't see, things you're only imagining.
It's things
that are affecting these.
It's the thing plus your imagination. Yeah. Then we're going to take your imagination away.
That's right. Well, you take children and put children in danger.
Yes.
That's when, you know, you start to, and then, or adults in danger, or in a very, you know, sticky situation that it's hard to get out of. And now they're in a risky spot, you know, and what's going to happen next. But then, as you know, and I was going to say, there's a scene in the film where the spirit somehow leaves the house that it's inhabiting and is now at the demonologist's house.
Sure.
And they see it, and it's just sitting with its back to them. It's a, you know, grizzled old woman, but you don't see her face. You just see her hair, and she's holding Annabelle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think they see it. I think it's a daughter sees it. Their daughter sees this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's scary, though, because you can't see the face.
Right.
So that there's that sense of what could be there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's scarier than something being there is actually nothing being there. That's actually scarier to you. The idea that nothing's there, there's no face there.
Okay.
Because you can't see anything, right? So
yep.
You either put everything there or nothing there. In both cases, it's terrifying.
Sure.
So, yeah, I enjoyed it. Enjoyed it to a point, and then it started to fall apart.
Now, would you, because the doll is real. They've got the doll, right?
Like, yes, they have it.
Like, the doll exists.
They have a whole room.
The fella has passed away. What fella? The demonologist, the real guy. I'm saying this is real life. The doll is real.
Okay.
Okay. Did you know the doll was real?
Well, yes. Okay.
All right. You know, it's bullshit. But anyway. So the guy's passed away.
Yeah.
The woman continues the work that they've done.
Yes.
That's what's going on with her.
Mm-hmm.
They've got the doll, and it's blessed a couple of times a day by a priest.
Yes.
So now, if you saw that doll, would that doll creep you out knowing that it's in real life?
No.
Because it's all bullshit.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think the priest feels like? Like the priest who like. You know, is a priest, and the priest's job is to come in and bless a doll so that the evil spirit doesn't come out.
In the film, it's kind of like, remember the show Friday the 13th?
Sure.
And they would go around collecting objects that had been cursed?
Right.
That's what these people do. So it's not just the doll in that room. Whole room is full of
specifically they bless this doll.
No, they bless everything in the room.
Ooh,
yes, they say that in the film. Yeah. It's the end of the
film. Yeah. Just a generic blessing.
And everything, every shelf has like a crucifix on it as well, or a cross on it.
I know we're kind of running out of time, but this is something I actually kind of want to know.
Okay.
All right. So, because it sort of ties into the priest thing.
Sure.
Now, you're a fellow who has studied the Bible. All right. Now, are there ghosts in the Bible?
Well, other than Christ?
Yeah, other than Christ. That's right. Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Where'd that come from? When did like Christians start believing in ghosts, since ghosts are not in the
Bible? I think ghosts probably predate Christianity.
Understood, it seems like the Bible would say, well, that's not the case. If you're this, you go somewhere and there's a plan, and none of this plan involves ghosts. This seems like a weird new element that people, who, like say a priest is coming in and blessing this thing because, you know, there's been all this ghosts and stuff. How does he work that into his business?
Well, because
when did the only demons I can remember in the Bible are the ones that got sent into pigs, and that's why we don't eat pork.
The Gadarene swine. Yes.
There you are. That's the only demons.
There's other demons.
Are there?
Yeah. Most illnesses of that time period were attributed to demons.
Okay, so a demon
in
the Bible, the demon's gig basically is going to make you sick.
Is to possess you and turn and ruin your life in some way.
Ruin your life.
Yeah.
Oh, is that they actively?
Well, I mean, if you're an epileptic or a leper
through illness.
Yeah.
Okay, but they're not doing the stuff that you do in a haunted house.
No, they don't jump out at people and say boo.
Right. So where'd all this business come from? When did that all start? When did that all become a thing? Where like now a priest can be brought in and is throwing holy water in the corners of your house, and the priest doesn't go, you know what? There's nothing in the Bible about this. This all just seems like nonsense. No, of course this doesn't happen. Bye. When is that?
Okay. Well, I think it comes in different layers of the answer for this.
Like, okay.
And I'm just gonna guess at things, right? One is I think that ghosts or that kind of supernatural sense of scary or whatever, the unknown, has existed always.
Understood.
Has, you know, there's lots of different cultures that have ghost elements, ghostly things, specters.
Yeah. Got
you. You know, the whole idea of, you know, Celtic, you know, the part of the Halloween tradition is the idea that, like, from the Irish, that there's this sort of membrane that separates the living world from the world of the dead.
And it's the weakest on Halloween.
That's right. And so that's where the carving of squash for Irish people, they would carve squash in a way to ward off these spirits. So, I mean, those things are what you would call sort of outside of Christianity.
Right.
But have been incorporated into Christianity the way that, say, Christmas trees were incorporated into Christianity. You know, Christmas trees existed before, like the, you know, they just were kind of brought in by people who are like, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm still going to have
that
a tree.
But that, I mean, you having a Christmas tree doesn't go counter to the things in the Bible. A tree doesn't,
but
I mean,
the Bible doesn't explain every element of life.
No, I understand.
I mean, it's not.
But what it does explain is, what happens, you know.
It doesn't explain what happens when you die. The Bible doesn't talk about that at all.
It doesn't.
No.
It doesn't say there's a heaven?
No. No.
So that's just winging it
all
afterwards?
All post-biblical, yeah.
So it doesn't say what the devil wants from you?
No.
Devil's not going to tempt you? There's none of that in there?
Well, there is.
Devil tempts Jesus.
There's Lucifer in it, but yeah.
Yeah, Lucifer just tempts Jesus. He never tempts a person?
Not in the Bible itself.
It's just Jesus.
Yeah.
So, okay, where'd this devil tempting people thing come from? Where'd that go?
Is this all added?
Just make-em-ups?
It's all accretions. Yeah, this is over time. We've added these things. That's why you have things like the Protestant Reformation, which is like, let's strip back all this junk we've added to this thing, and you know, we'll just clear away all this junk.
This is the stuff,
and then we can add our own junk to it.
This is what I don't understand. It's like how you know, like someone who's a traditional Christian, you know, can go like,
but what is that though?
Well, someone that believes in the things that are in the Bible, basically.
But you know? What is? I mean, that's the thing. Like,
and doesn't
what is,
and doesn't just and doesn't add a huge element to it. Doesn't just
good
just,
luck.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's like you know, when you think you know, there's ghosts in the house.
Mm-hmm.
To me, if you're a Christian and you're believing, this house has a whole bunch of ghosts.
Yeah.
And what are the ghosts doing? Well, they got unfinished business, and they're doing all this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that's a lot of extra stuff to add and just make out of thin air.
I don't think they've
that's
added
a lot.
I think it existed.
I don't see how that jibes with.
It existed before Christianity, so it's
I understand
just,
that, but then when your Christianity comes along,
you
should go like, we're going to do this now instead, right? Not
you can't.
We're not going to add it in as well.
No, lots of stuff got added.
You don't keep Horus. You know, you don't keep the crocodile-headed gods.
You don't keep Horus, but you do. Elements of those things came into Christianity, though.
Oh, they did, but most of them are also in the Bible themselves,
not
right?
Not always. Like, our sense of Christ as a sacrifice, that's not in the Bible. That's a post-biblical you know, attempt to understand Christ's death.
All right, but that's an interpretation.
But that came out of, say it came out of like the mystery cults of that time or Mithraism,
right,
where a bull was sacrificed. So those people who, you know, left Mithraism and came to Christianity, you know, they grew up in Mithraism. They understood that as...
Gotcha.
They brought those concepts with them into Christianity and influenced Christianity the same way that Eastern ideas of being and you know, the sort of... what would you call it? The kind of aesthetic sense of the body as being bad. Those elements kind of poison the well of Christianity as well. So you have those sort of things that creep their way in. And so you end up with like these kind of strange, you know, puritanical elements of Christianity, which in no way reflect a Jewish or Christian, you know, true biblical reading, but it makes sense to them as people who are don't like the body.
Yeah,
you know,
it feels like those are
the pleasures of the flesh.
Yeah,
that's not part of the Bible.
It feels though this all is like interpretation.
Yeah,
and that's fine. And then it seems like something to me like ghosts are such a huge make 'em up. You know, to bring along.
They're not a make 'em up.
I know they're from before.
They're not a make 'em up.
I get that they're from
before.
They're
not a make 'em up.
But I don't see how ghosts with unfinished business and all this kind of thing. If you go with Book of Revelation, where is this all heading to? Here's what it is. Big war. What's going to happen?
But Book of Revelation is not a prediction.
Okay.
It's not a prediction. You're reading it. You're taking it the wrong way.
All right. So when there's a lake of fire, there's the war.
Those are all descriptions of contemporary events. They're not descriptions of coming events.
Okay.
The Book of Revelation is not a revelation of what is going to happen.
It's saying it's happening
now. It's happening now.
So what's the dragon then?
It's hard to know exactly because it's written in a code that was understandable to those people.
Okay, but most people I've talked to who think about that think it's a prediction for the future. You're saying they're wrong.
Yeah, well that's they're wrong. This, like I said, when Protestantism started, the idea was we're going to get rid of all this crap that's, you know, glommed onto the church over the time. So we're going to get rid of all this Catholic stuff that they've added. Because Catholics are bad because they've added all this stuff to it. That's bad.
Okay.
So what we're going to do as Protestants, we're going to get rid of all this crap.
Right.
And so as soon as they did that, they started adding their own crap. So then you start having Revelation becoming this prediction of future events and becoming all this sort of premillennial, postmillennial.
Right.
Like it's a whole, like if you go into like, you know, Christian Reform and all those kind of churches that are Mennonites or whatever, the really hardcore Protestant church, you know, it's just mind-boggling, all the variations of what Revelation means and what the coming apocalypse is and what Christ returning on clouds of glory
means.
Let me ask you this.
If you believe, if you do believe it literally, and you believe there's going to be a war, say, and some people do, that there's going
to
be a war.
So you have to believe there's actually four corners of the world.
Sure. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Well, whatever. You know, but if you believe literally that this is what happens. The big plan is there's going to be a war.
Yeah.
The bad will, not the bad, but the disbelievers will go to the lake of fire. The believers will ascend. This is the way it'll be forever and ever. Amen. That's the way it'll be. Then who fucking cares about ghosts? Because the plan is there. You got unfinished business. Who gives a shit? Have you read the end of the story? The bigger plan is this. It doesn't matter your unfinished business and you never, you know, you never plugged in that toaster. And so every morning the toaster is unplugged because grandpa's ghost is around just like doing this thing.
Well, and maybe
that just seems like, how can you square that circle?
And maybe that's why there's way less of the sort of demon ghost elements in Protestant. You know, you don't really hear about Protestant exorcisms and stuff like that.
How boring would those be?
That's Catholic.
Please leave. Okay. Done.
That's a
Catholic. Very polite.
It's more of a Catholic thing, right? So you can see the Catholics don't really care about
feels
that.
Like we're more repressed so that when we go exorcist
Well, it's
nuts.
Not that so much, but like you say, they don't really think about Revelation. It's not a big part of the Catholic theology. A big part of Protestant theology. So if you're going to say that made a difference in your world, your, you know, outlook on the world,
right,
you know, then one is going to concentrate more on this idea of that already, you know, had kind of attached itself to the church, the idea of ghosts and demons and all this stuff like that. Are we going along again?
I've got to wrap up really soon.
Okay. So if you're, you know, so I just think, how can I say this? It's just, you know, just different worldviews. So what was important to those different churches and how they took, you know, Christian mythology and added their own mythology to it. And that happened, I mean, it's almost unavoidable. I mean, we do it now. We don't realize we're doing it now. But, you know, modern Christianity has its own mythology. It has its own version of Christ that, you know, they have to kind of shave off parts they don't like of things that Christ said or reinterpret it in a way. You know, I break a sword, I don't come in peace, blah, blah, blah. What does that mean? Well, it means this. It's still peaceful, but, you know, because it's hippie Christ with sandals and throwing flowers and, you know, loves the children and stuff like that. you know, that's what we want to have now, so we ignore other elements of him. That's, it's just how it goes. I mean, Christ is so big that he can encompass so many different, you know, he's so big, he has so many different elements to him that we can all have our contradictory views of this one person.
So you're saying Jesus is like Batman?
No, I'm not.
You can have the Adam West version.
Sure.
You can have the Christopher Nolan version.
I didn't say that.
You can have your Neil Adams version.
Sure.
And they're all still Batman.
Yeah.
All right. So that's what Dave believes. That it's everyone, Batman, in that way, it's like Batman.
Yes.
But the one thing we can all agree is no interpretation of the Bible would allow you to have a doll that's possessed by a demon and do all that kind of business and knock on a door just to trick you and you turn around and the doll's sitting in a chair.
Still fun.
That does not, that square, that circle cannot be squared.
Listen, Mr. Aesthetic Puritan, it's still fun.
Oh, sure.
Fun is fun.
And you know what? Happy Halloween.
The first part of the Bible says creation is good.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So fun is good.
And that's Dave's interpretation.
Let's just go out there and have fun, everybody.
All right. I'm going to go out there and do a show right now, which is what I'm running out the door to do. by the way, Dave recently recorded an episode of the Caustic Soda podcast. I got jealous of that, so I went out and I did the Dazed and Convicted podcast, and that will be on in a couple of weeks as well. So there you go. If you want to listen to us in a different podcast form, you can.
Dazed and Convicted.
Dazed and Convicted.
Okay.
And so I'm going to be on that. Listen, folks, we love to hear from you. What do you think about all the, especially the controversial last 10 minutes of this episode?
was it controversial?
Go to our, I don't know, maybe. Go to our message boards at sneakydragon.com and let us know what you think. What is our email again, Dave?
Our email is sneakyd@sneakydragon.com.
We are sneaky_dragon on Twitter. We are on Facebook. We love to hear from you in any of those ways. And if you sent us a question to our question episode, we want to send you stuff. So please use one of those and give us your address.
We're still missing some addresses from Joe and Danny.
And that means we're not going to send you stuff.
Yeah.
So let us send you stuff.
Give us your addresses.
Okay. And you know what? Just for fun, how about you send us pictures of your Halloween costumes?
Hey, that'd be nice.
How about put those on Facebook?
Well, can I just say one thing about Facebook?
You certainly can.
If you have liked Sneaky Dragon, make sure that you're also following Sneaky Dragon. Because some pages, if you're not following them, you don't get the updates and things like that. So it's fun for us when we post that we see as many people as possible get the things we post. So
right.
Sometimes it's disappointing when it says reach 13. Like, what? What? 13 people?
No, I think it's just 13 people got it.
Got the
joke. I mean, a lot more people received it, but they didn't necessarily
get it.
That's fair.
I get it.
All right. Happy belated Halloween to all of you. Thanks for listening to the show. I got to go. Bye.
Bye, everyone.